Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a splendid day wherever you are. Man, if the weather's as good where you are as it is where I am, are we kidding? It's not going to be as good where you are as I am. So, sorry, I had to be that guy. That was me. My bad, yo. My bad. Oh, we got lots of stuff. Lots of stuff to get to. Doug Gottlieb Show comes to you live daily from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call Farmers today, 1-888-FARMERS, and you can start saving money on auto insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
So, J.J. Watt. Well, J.J. Watt signs a free agent deal. As you might have heard if you're listening to my man, David Gascon, who's in the update chair. David Gascon reported, and we've seen it throughout, that J.J. Watt signed a deal, 2 years, reportedly at $31 million, but there's $23 million in guarantees. What's that mean? Well, it means it's about $11.5 million per year, right? Okay, so last week, we kind of laughed at the, J.J. Watt, he's got $15, $16 million offers out there, which technically accurate. And as we said, if you have an offer in your J.J. Watt and it's worth $15 million, then you know what you should do? You should take that offer. You should take that offer. Because in the real world, a championship caliber team values him somewhere between $7 and $9 million a year. So what I see throughout the social media landscape, which is just a cesspool of uninformed idiots or people who are trying to change a narrative to fit one that they think is the right one, is look at the Houston Texans. You know, why don't you just call the Arizona Cardinals the Texans West? Right? Because they got a bunch of former Houston Texans. Well, actually, they have two. DeAndre Hopkins, who they traded, surprisingly so. Last offseason, and J.J. Watt, who they cut this year. J.J. Watt, for the record, has missed 33 of the last 80 games, right? Part of ability is availability. Additionally, look, dude, he's in his mid-30s, okay? He's not J.J. Watt of 5 years ago. Still a good player. Still could be helpful. Could be good part of the culture. But what I don't want to hear from people is the nonsense about J.J. Watt, like, oh my gosh, this just completely seals the deal. They should get off the Deshaun Watson. Like, they were going to cut J.J. Watt regardless. He was set to make $17.5 million. It was a $17.5 against the cap if they kept him. Nothing against the cap if they don't keep him. So he wasn't taking a pay cut to stay there. He took a pay cut and got a signing bonus to go elsewhere. They did him a solid. This organization, which I've heard called just a laughing stock and such a cesspool and such a... Okay, so they could have traded J.J. Watt for like a fourth round pick or whatever, where he would have been negotiating against himself on a new deal. Or they could allow him to walk and then pit team against team in terms of where he was going to go, which would drive up his value to the point where the Arizona Cardinals massively overpaid for him, partially because I'm sure they got deked by his crew. Because, look, you're only going to Arizona if you're taking top bidder, which also means we can please stop with the, well, J.J. Watt, he wants to be a part of a better, a winning. Like, J.J. Watt didn't care about any of that. Did it help the DeAndre Hopkins there? Sure. You know what really helped? $23 million guaranteed. That's what helped. He went to the highest bidder. That's it. Which is fine. He's totally allowed to do. Right? Totally allowed to do. But let's not make this some sympathetic tale of a guy who was crushed by the Texans culture and only wanted some air. of a championship caliber team. I like Kyler Murray. Okay? I like Cliff and what they've done. I think they'll improve defensively because it couldn't be any worse. And I think he makes them better. Does he make him a championship team? The answer is no. Nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks that. You know, they won 8 games last year. That's what it is. They won 8 games. Now, you could sit here and tell me, well, you know, this is a lot like Tampa signing Tom Brady. Well, there's a difference. Tom Brady did not take top dollar. Tom Brady had all the pieces in place. Tom Brady's also quarterback, and Tom Brady had won, I don't know, 6 Super Bowls beforehand, whereas J.J. Watt and the Texans hadn't won anything. It's just a different calculation. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Arizona Cardinals are worse. It's a risky proposition at best. Not just, even if J.J. Watt is as good as he used to be, the likelihood is he gets hurt. Why? Because he always gets hurt. And the stronger likelihood is he's not as good as he used to be. And then you're paying him $11 million for a service that you could get performed at a substantially cut rate. The hit rate on quarterbacks, on wide receivers, on defensive players, on free agents, the hit rate is 33%. And the second you start to understand and buy into that, you know that there's a 1 in 3 chance that J.J. Watt lives up to the contract he just signed. We can make it about other things because we don't know what's really going on in Houston. And Deshaun Watson has told us that he's the worst, that Jacob Easterby is the worst ever. And all they do is lie to you. But all I can tell you is the Houston Texans, as of today, just simply based upon what they did with J.J. Watt, did right by him. They moved on. He got a new contract. He's with the highest bidder. He's with a new team. And they have the cap space to go and start to rebuild their defense. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like cramming a full year's worth of cash back into one of those cash-shaped birthday cards. Cashback match only by Discover Card. Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch. Discover something brighter. I mean, look, I think J.J. Watt's good. Does this make them better? Does what they did better than what the Rams did? The answer is no. Now, it's not the last move that Arizona will have. But the fact is that if you compare Arizona to the Rams have a better quarterback. And I like Kyler Murray, but a better quarterback. And an upgraded quarterback, too. Kyler Murray should be better, but will he be as much better as the upgrade of Stafford is to Jared Goff? And then nothing that they have compares to Aaron Donald and what he will do to the defense. To an offense, actually, as a defensive player. Nor do they have a Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. So I think then you look at Seattle, and as much as it feels, well, Russell Wilson wants out, like, look, they made the playoffs last year. The San Francisco 49ers have a ferocious pass rush when Nick Bosa is healthy. They're a better roster. So don't make it about anything that it's not about. Here's what it's about. J.J. Watt went to the highest bidder. And his agent had people convinced in the media that he was going to make 15 to 16. Could he? I guess. The devil's in the details. It's $23 million guaranteed, which is $11.5 per year. That's what he'll make. And he went to whatever team would pay him the most money. Period. Stop. Over the weekend, there was an unbelievable performance by a college freshman. Why it only makes it more obvious the difference in decision between going to college and going to the G League. We'll discuss next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Doug Farrar will join us upcoming as he'll explain why he believes J.J. Watt's addition to the Cardinals could push them over the top. We'll get to that upcoming. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like they're cramming a full year's worth of cash back into one of those cash-shaped birthday cards. Cashback match only by Discover card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover something brighter. I've spent two of the past 3 days, and I guess maybe two and a half, because I flew in there in Logan, Utah, which, by the way, in the underrated, remarkably beautiful places in the country. Like, everybody knows Park City is really cool and really nice, but Logan's like 2 hours north of there. It's incredible. I mean, it's just incredible to look at. Fresh fallen snow, right? It's the Cache Valley. And anyway, so my college basketball duties are cranked back up and I'm getting ready for the tournament. And by the way, I will try and help you as much as I can make money on these games, right? Win your pool or just make money the old fashioned way by calling your guy that says, I'll get you down for how much? Okay. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show, live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save a bundle on your auto insurance. David Gascon. David, how many points did Cade Cunningham have over the weekend?
He had 40 points. And a monster game.
He had a monster game. It was an absolute monster game.
In an upset.
It was an upset. I think they were a 4-point underdog, right? Like, upsets are not based upon your rankings. It's based upon whether or not Vegas thought you were going to win. We okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
And they were on the road, too.
They were on the road. How many points did Jalen Green have over the weekend?
I do not know.
Right? Don't know. Jalen Green, by the way, had 26 points. On only 14 shots, 6 of 8 from three-point range. Now, Jalen Green, for people who don't know, and they don't know that name, okay? Jalen Green is a freak athlete, a super talented top 5, top 10 prospect for the upcoming NBA draft, and he's chosen to go to the G League Ignite team, which is like mostly former NBA players that are trying to get back in and a couple of these high school kids. So, there's also Jonathan Kuminga and Jalen Green, and they play together on what's called the G League Ignite team. And so he just had his best game as a pro for a couple $100,000, and Cade Cunningham is only on scholarship, you know, which people seem to dismiss as having no value, and he put up 40 against Oklahoma. And which of the two are you aware of? That's basically which of the two are you aware of? Now, I believe that Cade Cunningham is the better prospect because he does more, right? He handles better. He guards multiple position defender, but he's not doing it against grown men that Jalen Green is. And Jalen Green is shooting at a ridiculously high clip, considering he was somebody who people had questions about his proficiency from three. Especially when you move back to that big boy NBA line. And he has improved after a disappointing first game, played better every game since. But no one knows, which I get so tired of trying to make an argument with people who refuse to admit the obvious in the argument. Here's what I mean. We talk all the time, and we're getting ready for March Madness. It's March 1st. Happy Izzo to you, right? So in the coming weeks, you'll learn more about Cade Cunningham. You'll learn more about so many of these players. And that's where part of the value is. That's where part of the value is. And now it's an actual decision. Now you can, if you're really good, you could do the G League thing and try it that way. And some of those guys are going to get a lot of money up front. Or you can go and make a name for yourself in college basketball, where you don't have to leave after the first year, your second year, your third year, your fourth year. Sometimes you don't have to leave after your fourth year. And the perfect embodiment of where the value is in college basketball. Now, forget about the fact that most guys get into a school they couldn't get into on their own. The value of not carrying student debt, all the other benefits you get when you're there academically, socially, you're a big man on campus. Sports-wise, you have better trainers, better facilities. I mean, like, look, you can sit here and tell me all you want about how great the G League is and how much money they're making. Ask anybody who's been to Santa Cruz to that facility where those teams or been to Northern California where they're training and then has been to Oklahoma State or has been to USC or has been to Kansas or Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky. And you tell me who supports an athlete better and gets them ready for the next job better. But the biggest part of the value is in name recognition. And while most of the world hasn't paid attention to college basketball and these kids for the entirety of the season, now they are. And now most people who watch the sport know who Cade Cunningham is and know he dropped 40 on Oklahoma and he plays again tonight in Stillwater against the same team. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. And we got a bevy, a cornucopia, a plethora of topics with Doug Farrar. He joins us now. And I want to get to this really interesting column on the 51 best HBCU players. I think we know who the number one is. But Doug, let's start with the news of the day. J.J. Watt signs with the Arizona Cardinals for a deal that'll pay him 23 guaranteed over 2 years. What's your immediate reaction?
My immediate reaction, as I wrote on USA Today right after it happened, is this is the kind of thing that could push the Cardinals over the top. And here's why. Last year, Watt played over 1,000 snaps, which I believe was the first time he'd done that in 4 or 5 years. He was completely healthy. He only had 5 sacks, but he had a ton of pressures. And he had a ton of pressures on a Houston defensive line that had nobody else around him. He was, per ESPN stats and info, double teamed on 30% of the snaps, which was the highest of any edge rusher in the league last season. Now you have Chandler Jones coming back from an injury that limited him to 5 games last year. Chandler Jones had 19 sacks in 2019. He's still that player when he's healthy. Hassan Reddick is an impending free agent, as is Marcus Golden. If they keep one of those guys, if they have, say, Golden and Jones on the edge, the one thing Arizona didn't have, and they finished, I believe, 4th in sacks, 4th in pressure rate, and 5th in blitz rate. So they were blitzing a ton, a lot of sub packages, a lot of different fronts, as is in the modern NFL. If you have 2 edge guys, you can push Watt in the middle. Houston played him mostly on the edge. Watt's going to be 32 later this month. Now, at 32, he can still be effective, but you want him on the edge where he's going to have to, you know, dip and rip and turn and take 15 steps to the quarterback, or do you want him inside where he's going to, you know, push the offensive guard out of the way and take 7 steps to the quarterback and everyone's going to have a party? I think it's a great signing for this particular defense. I think Watt was healthy and ridiculously effective, and I wouldn't say misused, but not used to his best potential. I think Vance Joseph, their defensive coordinator in Arizona, I think they have a lot more options. And I think Watt could see kind of a career resurgence.
Is his addition better than what the Rams added so far with Matt Stafford?
Well, that's a whole different story. I mean, if you're talking about the ability to make off-platform and second reaction throws, which are kind of a requirement in today's NFL. I mean, if Matt Stafford is an A1 in both of those departments, and I believe he is, I would say Jared Goff is a 2B, you know, maybe a, you know, I would say Stafford is a tier one quarterback in all the things that make modern quarterbacks great. I would say Goff is, you know, he's a system guy. And every quarterback is a system guy, but you know what I mean. Goff is not generally able to create outside of the structure. in a way that great quarterbacks are. Stafford has that, and he's been around long enough and had enough different offensive coordinators to learn to play within structure as well. So if we're talking about the most, you know, the biggest addition to any NFL team, at least so far, with free agency a couple weeks away, I would say it's Stafford without question, because the upgrade at quarterback and the ability for Sean McVay to open up his playbook, I think is just, it's kind of transcendent, because, you know, coaches can say everything they want about, you know, I believe in this guy and he's great and whatever. It really, you put guys on the field and then you'll find out what coaches really think. And I think over the last couple of years with Goff, McVay had to condense his playbook to limit it to what Goff was capable of. And I think Stafford is just, you know, he's at least two dimensions above that.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Doug Farrar, who joins us from USA Today. What about the Seahawks and the noise up there about Russell Wilson's unhappiness?
I think the unhappiness is legitimate. I mean, I'm in Seattle. I've been covering this team since 2010. I've kind of watched it being built. I remember talking to Russell in his first rookie minicamp. You know, I think at this point, and I read the piece by Mike Dugar and Jason Jenks and Mike Sando. I know all those guys. I mean, what they write is legit. None of them are, you know, hot take artists or whatever. It mirrors the things I've seen and I've heard. I think the most notable part of that athletic piece, and I'm kind of disgusted by it, but I'm not necessarily surprised. Halfway through the season, they're getting ready for a Thursday night game against the Cardinals, and Wilson comes into a meeting and, you know, has his ideas about, hey, maybe we could use this or that personnel and scheme, and his ideas were dismissed out of hand, and Wilson stormed out of the room. And you know, I remember talking to Bruce Arians in 2015 when he was the Cardinals head coach. I talked to Bruce Arians and Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton because I was writing a piece about the relationship between coaches and quarterbacks back when I was at Sports Illustrated. And Arians said, you know, every night, the day before a game, that night, I go over the 25 plays with Carson or whoever my quarterback is, and I say, what do you believe in? What do you like? What is the sequence? You hear coaches all the time, their first 15 or their first 20 or their first 25. Arians would never put a sequence of plays together that his quarterback didn't believe in. Now, in Tampa Bay this year, it took about till the bye week before Arians and Brady had the time, you know, with the COVID shortened offseason, to really sit down and say, hey, Tom, okay, you like more pre-snap motion. You like more three-step drops. We can still do the vertical game. And then you saw that offense take off. In Seattle's case, I think Wilson believes at this point in his career, he has the weight to his name and to his legacy to be able to walk into a media room and say, hey, I think we should change this or that. And he would at least be listened to. And I think he's right. And I think overall, he's got a right to be unhappy. As to whether the Seahawks actually trade him, you know, the sunk cap cost and all the financial complexities around that, plus the fact that they have to find a way to replace him. And he's been one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL pretty much since he came to the league. I don't think it'll happen, but I think the disconnect and the schism, it's there. And unless Pete Carroll and his staff kind of change their way of thinking, because they don't see Wilson as Wilson sees Wilson. And that's a big problem. Unless that changes, this isn't going to go away.
No, but Wilson also, there hasn't been one ounce of Wilson saying, hey, I didn't play well last year. Because he didn't. It was let Russ cook, and then he had a bad game against the Cardinals, and everybody kind of stopped paying attention. And down the stretch, he just didn't play well. Now, can there be compounding issues? Like, he didn't agree with the scheme, and it wasn't setting him up for success? Like, okay. You got to give people a little something, right?
I agree with that. And reading the transcripts and seeing the press conferences, I mean, the Rams and Cardinals games where he threw a bunch of picks, I mean, he would say after the game, you know, this or that may have happened, I wasn't protected, but I also didn't play well. I think for the most part, when he didn't play well, he copped to it.
But not now. I just don't understand.
Well, not
how,
now.
Yeah,
and
I don't understand how he thinks that's the reality is, like, there's no equal value to trading a superstar quarterback, right? Like,
right.
Oh, three first-round picks. The hit rate's 53%. So, at best,
especially
you're talking...
if you look at Seattle's first-round picks through the Carroll Schneider era, not good. Yikes.
Right. So, I mean, we're not going to give up our superstar quarterback because he, especially when, didn't he have part of the say in who they hired as offensive coordinator?
Well, what I've heard is Brian Schottenheimer was kind of his guy, but I've heard, you know, conflicting reports on that. I don't think it's a thing where they went to him and say, hey, we have these three candidates. Who do you like? I don't think it goes to that degree. Whereas if you're Tom Brady, you know, you're like, hey, I want to hire, you know, I want you guys to sign Antonio Brown and then go do it.
I think it's interesting you point that out. I said that the first time this came out. It's like what people forget is only two guys worked out with Antonio Brown. One was Russell Wilson. The other was Tom Brady. Tom Brady got it done despite the 8-game suspension. And Russell Wilson couldn't get it done. And I'm sure he probably said, like, hey, I can hand this to you on a platter. Won't cost us anything. And they're probably like, nah, too much baggage. Can't do it. Right? Can't do it. And then he sits there and watches the guy catch a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. And he's like, see, they're not about winning, you know? And I, you know, there's other issues there with Antonio Brown, but, but when you're emotional, you have a it becomes confirmation bias when you already think a team is not all about winning.
Well, I think this. I think Wilson has been sacked by far more than any other quarterback since he came into the league in 2012. And a lot of those sacks are his fault, as is the case with most mobile quarterbacks. But Seattle has put together its offensive lines with some really weird half measures, especially when Tom Cable was in charge. Their defense has regressed exponentially since the Legion of Boom days. That defense is not a patch on what it was.
How much of that is a product of the fact that they're paying Russell Wilson so much money?
I mean, that's a part of it. But the cap is obviously reduced this year. But when you're playing around with $200 million a year, even if Russell is, you know, $25, $30 million a year, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but even if that's the case, I mean, they got Richard Sherman with a fifth-round pick. They got Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett on low-ball deals. Cam Chancellor was a low pick, you know. Brandon Browner was an undrafted free agent. Earl Thomas was the only guy who was a first-rounder. Bobby Wagner was a second-rounder. So there is also an element of their drafts have not been as high quality. They were not able to replace some of these all-time guys, which is hard to do. I mean, you leave the NFL in scoring defense 4 straight years. Only teams ever done that in the Super Bowl era. That's a hard act to follow. But a couple of years ago, the Seahawks, I think it was in 2017, was kind of the nadir of their run game. Russell Wilson was responsible either passing or rushing for all but one of their touchdowns all season. So, and I don't think it's Russell believing that the Seahawks aren't about winning. It's just, you know, so much is being asked of him, and I don't think he believes he's being the amount of influence he's being asked to put on the team just from a performance perspective. I don't believe it's being reciprocated in the influence over the organization. That's how I was summing up.
Doug Farrar joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You did do a piece about the 51 best HBCU alums who are of NFL caliber of all time. Obviously put Jerry Rice one. How hard was it to come up with number two?
Not hard at all. Jerry Rice and Walter Payton, and you know, you kind of go from there. I had Art Shell and Jackie Slater then, 3 and 4. Deacon Jones was 5. I got some static over that. But I think the most fun part, and it was such a great article to write, and I went into the weeds on research, as I like to do. Some of the guys that you probably have never heard of. I mean, Ken Riley, who played for the Bengals, cornerback from 69 to 83, 65 interceptions, ties him for 5th all-time in NFL history. Lem Barney of the Lions, 67 to 77. He had the second most interceptions in his career, and he was cool enough to hang out with Marvin Gaye in the early 70s, and he can be heard on the title track of the album What's Going On.
Wow.
Larry Brooks of the Rams, 72 to 82. In 76, unofficial sack total, 14.5 sacks in a 14-game season. That was a record for Rams defensive tackles that stood until some guy named Aaron Donald broke it in 2018. Aaron Donald's pretty good. Roger Brown of the Lions, defensive tackle. There was all that talk about the Steelers setting the consecutive games with a sack record. Not true. The Lions set the record from 60 to 65, and Brown was a big part of that, along with Alex Karras and Joe Schmidt, a couple of Hall of Famers. When Rosie Grier lost the rest of his career to a torn Achilles tendon in 1966, George Allen was so impressed with Roger Brown that he traded a first, a second, and a third round pick to bring Brown to the Rams. And those are four guys of the 51 who just had such remarkable careers and people have never heard of them. And I think that was the most interesting and fun part of that piece was just, hey, I mean, I'd never even heard of Larry Brooks. And when I went into the research, they're like, oh my gosh. And then you go on YouTube and you see what you can find. John Hanna of the Patriots, one of the five best guards of all time. There's stuff on YouTube where Larry Brooks is demolishing Hanna over and over and over in a game in 1980. And again, John Hanna, Hall of Fame guard, one of the best of all time. So it was just cool. Besides, and I just missed Black History Month. It went up this morning. But it was just really not only the sociopolitical aspects of it and to get into why HBCUs had to happen, which is both fortunate and unfortunate, but just to bring the names of those great players to light who really did not then and do not to this day get the recognition they deserve. That's, I think, what I really enjoyed the most about writing that.
Doug Farrar joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. USA Today, of course, is where he writes for. You can read that piece if you follow him on social media for a look on the USA Today. Doug, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us. Awesome perspective.
Thank you, Doug. My namesake.
Doug Farrar joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS and you could save a whole lot of something on auto insurance. Put me down for saying J.J. Watt. That's a money grab. It's a money grab. You know, we want to believe that J.J. Watt has this other gear in him. As Doug said, like, okay, you move him inside. Like, well, what's the value of him playing inside when he's always played outside? And yes, Chandler Jones is unbelievable before he got hurt, but he has tore his biceps. He is 31. And you're going to pay for your third best offensive lineman. You're going to pay 11.5 guaranteed up to $15 million. That's an insane overpay. Insane overpay. And that's why he goes there. You only go to a place like the Cardinals where you're not going to compete for a championship if the team overpays you, which he's allowed to do. He's allowed to take top dollar. But there's things that come with that. Teams that come with it. Could Lamar Jackson be the next quarterback unhappy with his team? Find out next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Besides money, what's lured J.J. Watt to the Cardinals? Bob McMenamin from the Arizona Republic is going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll get back into it. The Doug Gottlieb Show here live on Fox Sports Radio from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
Game time
on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Hustler Turf Equipment has the most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in the industry. And with over 1,000 dealers across the nation, there's a Hustler Turf dealer near you. Visit HustlerTurf.com. That's HustlerTurf.com. David Gascon, what's the game today?
How much gas you want?
We got...
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Shall we do this thing? Big deal, little deal at all? We'll see. Doug, Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson... trying to start contract negotiations. And according to Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, the two sides are far apart because they haven't started yet, just the negotiation part. All that big deal, little deal, no deal at all?
I think it's a little deal. Because, look, they don't actually have to rework his deal right now. Mm-hmm. They clearly want to. The question is, like, what's the value to? Like, how much do we have to pay you when, I don't know, I think it's a very hard calculation. The big thing is we want to get a deal done, and he wants to get a deal done as well. He has no real negotiating powers in it, and there's the fifth-year option they can pick up, and it'll be well compensated. Like, the deal can be done anytime between now and then. Even after that, he could be we're two full seasons away from him being a franchise taggy. And then we could go two more years before they actually ever have to have a deal. So it's no big deal, really. It's hard to find a value.
When you work in a contract for a quarterback like this, are you looking long-term on how you sign him because of what he does in and outside the pocket as opposed to a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
Yes. Yes. What he does outside the pocket is they run it so much.
Yeah.
One, likely to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's going to be hard for them to sign free, which is good, but you know, it means you have to draft wide receivers, which is a very hit or miss proposition. You know, they already have Ronnie Stanley, who's going to have to come off an injury, but he's well, because you got to protect the guy. I think it's a hard calculation.
Okay. 30-7 as a starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. 68 touchdowns during his 3 years there. We go from there to Baltimore to San Francisco, where the 49ers apparently have contacted the Carolina Panthers about acquiring Teddy Bridgewater and a potential trade. Doug, is this a big deal, little deal, or no deal at all?
That's a big deal. Because if the Niners are going to acquire him, then does that mean they're trading Jimmy Garoppolo? If they're trading Jimmy Garoppolo, are they cutting Jimmy Garoppolo? How does that all work? We knew Carolina wasn't happy with Teddy Bridgewater, and we assume that means they're going to either go after Deshaun Watson or try and draft a quarterback. But we did not know that they would, what they will give away for Teddy Bridgewater, and then what happens to Bridgewater because of it.
You think Bridgewater is an upgrade over Jimmy G?
I do not. Something there, though, that's frustrating them, obviously, about Jimmy G.
Durability?
Yeah, but, I mean, is Teddy Bridgewater that
hell durable? No. Not even close. Doug, we go from that to staying with the National Football League as a whole. Big deal, little deal, or no deal at all. They do not expect a 17-game regular season schedule here in 2021. Big deal, little deal, or no deal at all?
That's a big deal because in negotiating these new TV contracts, mm-hmm. has a 17th game been put in there because that increases value to it. It screws up a lot of things statistically. It screws up a lot of things in terms of how many people you're going to carry in your roster. I think they want to have the ability to add that 17th game. I don't know if they want to actually add that 17th game.
Do you like 16?
I do. Yep. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Nothing. You know, I also don't mind the Thursday night thing. I think they can move that sucker around all the time and try and figure out a way to make it work within people's schedules. The only thing I would change is I would have
preseason.
No, I would try and push back the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend.
Okay.
You know, obviously that has not yet been done, and it's long, and so I'm sure there's a TV reason in terms of how many viewers why they do it, but it would make a lot of sense if nobody had work the next day.
Fair enough. How about this? We go from the NFL to college basketball. Michigan has leaped over Baylor and second behind Gonzaga in the top 25 men's AP poll of college basketball. Big deal, little deal, or no deal at all?
No deal. Baylor lost, Michigan won. There you go. Baylor's came off a 22-day layoff, yeah, because of COVID, so it's really hard to tell if this is what they're going to look like in the postseason or if they're still rusty. Feels like they're still rusty. And both will be one seeds, barring some sort of epic collapse between now and Selection Sunday.
Were you surprised, though, that Michigan got four votes for first?
No.
No?
No. You know, you're always going to have people who are going to, you know, they want to take shots at Gonzaga. Like, well, what will, yeah, Gonzaga do in the Big 12 with their 2-0?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they were supposed to play Baylor, and that game got canceled or whatever. But there's this idea out there that playing in the West Coast Conference doesn't get them ready for the tournament. They're the only school in the country to get the Sweet 16 in the last 5 years. They've been playing the same league. No one said that about UNLV when they were dominant and won a national championship, went to the Final Four the following year. We didn't say it about Memphis. Why do we say it about Gonzaga? Why?
I don't know. Power five. What do you make about Iowa? I mean, they go from 9-5. Do they have a shot at a 2-seed?
They're not the fifth best team.
No.
They're not. I obviously I'm going to see Iowa in person calling the game on radio this Sunday.
Nice.
But they're not the best. Not the third. Not that close.
We go from college basketball to the NBA. Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry says that the league still hasn't forgotten about them a couple years ago, and they have a target as the championship run continues for them. Big deal, little deal, or no deal at all?
Which?
On Steph Curry saying that teams are still vying for them as a target, considering the fact they haven't won an NBA title in the last couple of years.
Yes, I think they're still a big game. I think people, I think they don't love Steph. And they don't like the Warriors. And the Warriors were, at least their ownership was very arrogant. And I think some people mistaken the Warriors having fun this whole time with with clowning other people. So, yeah, I definitely think they get people's best shot.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. A lot to get to, right? Speaking of the Lakers were the ones that stomped the Warriors. Of course, they got Dennis Schroeder back. What do they do with Dennis Schroeder? We'll have to dive in there. But up next, why is J.J. Watt a Cardinal? Find out next on the Doug Gottlieb Show.